So let's go over the Gemara. We started it, but we never finished it. This is on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Masiv Rabbi Bar Abaye. So it's about 2/3 of the way down the Yeah? We have it? Hagonev Kis B'Shabbos Chayov Shekvar Neschayev B'Gneva Kodem Shiyovali Deisur Skiul. So the Bryce establishes that we don't apply the principle of Kimlev the Ramine in this case, because when he lifts up the wallet in the Rishus of the Bailim, he's already Chayev for Gneva, and yet he's not Chayev for Hotzah. His Chayev for Hotzah will be postponed until he leaves the Rishus of the Bailim and exits and enters into the Rishus of Rabin, and then he puts it down in Rishus of Rabin. So it's not called Be'idna. So Rabbi Bibi Barbai asks the following question. According to Rabbi Ovin, who has the principle called Akira Tzarech Hanocha, so we look at the first action and we try to determine if that action is, so to speak, on the way to the Chiyuv Misa. For example, Akira is already on the way towards the Chiyuv Misa. And according to Rabbi Ovin, we're allowed to apply, and we have to apply the principle of Kimlev the Ramine once we're on the way to the Chiyuv Misa, which means that he's already done the Akira, and then if he rips Shiraim Shel Chavero, for example, he doesn't have to pay for that. Why not apply the same principle here to the Hagbas HaGneva, Hagbas HaKis, and define it as on the way to the Chiyuv, to the Chiyuv Hotzah, because once he lifts up the Kis, he's already done an Akira, which is going to culminate with Hotzah. So if that be the case, Rabbi says that he should be potter for the Chiyuv Gneva, applying the principle of Akira L'Tzarech Hanocha. Now, Yechiel printed out for me last week a long article here from Rav Shimon Shkup. Am I correct? It's endless. I lost it at some point. It was just, you know, sometimes if it's too much. But I just want to point out to you, if anybody wants to read through at least the first part of this essay, he's bothered by the fact that there's no Chiyuv Misa at the moment of Akira. And if Kimlev the Ramine requires simultaneity, requires Be'idna, then how can the Gemara imagine that there's already a Be'idna at the moment of the Akira? The Akira is already too far removed from the Hanocha. Let me read to you just his Lashon. He says, Kashali Tuva, I don't understand. Hechi mifter bezorek chetz v'karashirayim ba'alichoso. How can Rabbi Ovin say that if after he throws the chetz, it pierces through somebody's shirayim and he's potter for that? Shechiv ha-shirayim kvar chal b'shas ha-kriya. At what moment is he chayav for the kriya as a mazik? The moment that he rips his friend's garment.
Right.
And he says, v'havi kodem shemis chayav misa al hotzah. Let me try to explain to you what I think Rav Shimon Shkup is asking here. At the moment of Kriya Shirayim, he's chayev as a mazik. He's not going to be chayev for Melechus Hotzah until he completes the Hotzah at the moment of Hanocha, which is when it reaches Sof Dalet, let's say. How could we operate L'mafreya, so to speak, and remove a chiv mamon once it's chal? So the shas hachiv for kriya shirayim is the moment that he rips the shirayim. Later on, he'll incur a chiv misa when he completes the hotzah. How could Rabbi Ovin postulate that in such a case we apply kimlev to the rabbi? And he says, muchrachim on alomar to be kara. We're going to have to say that the very moment that he rips the Shirayim Shel Chavero, mitli toli achiv, the chiv of payment for Zekin here, for Mamon, for Shirayim, is somehow, how did you call it, Yosef, the other day, suspended in midair, right? That's what you called it. And here, Rav Shimon Shkup uses that term, mitli toli. She'im yigmar achiyuv hamachayv oso misa. Then already from the moment of Kriyas Hashiraim lo chal chiyuv. He even adds the word meikara. So this mitla tolu means that the chiyuv is not clinched yet. It's not definite yet from the moment of Kriyas Hashiraim, because we're trying to figure out whether or not it'll actually be chayv for hotzah if indeed it lands, you know, 4 amos later. The al kol panim, he says, I don't understand. He's still not so happy about it. Olenu limtzo tam shegam meikara. Right? Yeah. He says, how can I tell you that the chiyuv of Shirayim is considered mitli toli? He says, how do we find the logic to establish that meikara from the moment of Kriya Shirayim hayad davar miakvo? You know, there's something that's preventing from that chiyuv of Nezikin to be chal u'ma'akvo milischayev mamon, and it's already it's still at the point of kodim shenigmara meleches hotzah ha'anocha. And how does that work? Again, I didn't finish the essay because it goes on and on, but I just wanted to mention to you that that anyone who wants to photocopy this, it's fascinating, because he doesn't understand. I would add another point to just to clarify. Again, I'm hoping I'm not messing up what Rav Shimon is saying, but I think what he's saying is that if at that second of the Kriya Shirayim you cannot apply Kimlei V'Ramine, because we have to wait until he's Chayv Misa, right? The Kimlei V'Ramine is a result of his Chayv Misa. So what happens at the moment that he rips the Shirayim? We have what's called a Shibud Mama, meaning, again, I'm not talking about Knas now. You know, Knas operates with its own regulations, but a Chiyuv Mamon operates in such a way that we only need Bezdin to clarify the Chiyuv Mamon. We need them to be Makabal Edus and so forth, but the Chiyuv Mamon is already set from the moment that he's Mazik. Like, for example, if Edim would come in and testify that... right, let's say there was Hazoma, right? And they would testify that indeed there was a Chiyuv Mamon before, on an earlier date than the Edim Zomim testified on, then we would patter up the Edim Zomim, because in any event he's Chayav. In Knas, it doesn't work like that, because Knas is only Chal from the moment of Gmar Din. But in the case of a Chiyuv Mamon, the Chiyuv Mamon was already Chal before that. Now, a Chiyuv Mamon generates Shibud. Right. And let's say you hold Shibud the Doraisa. So it means on a total level, all you have to do, the Nizak has to just come and confiscate the property of the Mazik. Mm-hmm. And that Chiyuv or Shibud is Chal the very moment he rips the Shirayim. Now, you can't apply Kimlei D'Ramine at this point, because he's Achayv Misa. Now, if there's already a Chiyuv Mamon at time T1, at the moment that he rips the Shirayim, and there's already a Shibud, what happens to that Shibud? Does that Shibud all of a sudden dissipate into thin air? And he's not willing to say L'mafreya, you know, he's saying it was Mikla Tully, as if to say the Chiyuv Mamon and the Mazik and the Shibud is all incomplete, or it's indefinite, it's not yet 100%. Now, I think from some of the research that we've been doing on this sugya, and we're going to believe that to go over some of the issues here, the Tosis and the Ra'ah, again today, it seems that what we're saying is that we're expanding the Kimlei V'Ramine, not the way Reb Shimon Shkop understood it. Again, he may change his mind later on, I don't know, so I'm not trying to commit him. But the way the sugya evolves is that already at the moment of Akira, there is, so to speak, a Chiyuv Misa. Why? Because X or Y. I mean, that's going to be the Machlokas between the Ra'ah and Tosus, as we'll soon see. Let's take the Ra'ah's opinion, because I think that's a little bit easier, and then we'll get to Tosus' opinion. So what we're familiar with in the Ra'ah is that there's a Hascholas Chiyuv Misa at the time of the Akira. Why? Because Akira is an integral part of the Malach. And if you remember, the Ra'ah equates it with Ktsira Pachas Mikashir. He hasn't yet finished the Shir. So is somebody going to tell me that there's no Kimlei V'Ramine when he starts his Ktsira and he rips somebody else's Shirayim because he hasn't yet finished the Shir of Ktsira? And the Ra'ah sort of throws it out as a challenge, and he says, "Well, obviously we're going to apply Kimle the Rabbin in this case." Again, from Rav Shimon Shkof's perspective, I don't know if we should be applying Kimle the Rabbin because it's not until he finishes the kashir of the malacha that he's chayv misa. So there's nothing to knock off the chiv moment, which was chal before he completed the shir. So again, we're back to Rav Shimon Shkof. But the Ra'ah, who was many generations before Rav Shimon Shkof, is understanding that there's a concept called tchilas achiv, that a malacha might take you a long time and stretched out, but you've already begun the malacha and the avera from stage number one, in the case of Hautzah or Havara, from the moment of Akira. So it's like two roads diverged here. You know, Rav Shimon Shkof is asking about the Chiyuv Misa Befal, and he's saying, well, if there was no Chiyuv Misa Befal at the moment of the Mazik, of the Chiyuv Mamon, then the Chiyuv Mamon is already complete. It's set in stone. How are you going to remove the Chiyuv Mamon later when he incurs the Chiyuv Misa? But the other road I think we can take is this concept that the Ra'ah is insisting on, which again I want to review today with you, and that is the concept of Haskalas Achiyuv, that we have an Avera that is extended over a period of time. It may have many parts to it. Once you begin that Avera, you're already in the mode, so to speak, of a Chiyuv Misa. And at that moment, we can already trigger off Kimle D'Rabbani. We already press the button of Kimle D'Rabbani. So any Chiyuv moment that is incurred from the beginning of the Chiyuv Misa till the end of the Chiyuv Misa is already subject to the Ptur of Kimle D'Rabbani, which is Mafkia, which is Poter the Chiyuv. Of course, you could always argue, well, what's going to be if at the end of the day he never completes the Chiyuv? So that's a different story. Because at that point, we're going to say that there was no Ascholas Achiyuv. The Ascholas Achiyuv is only meaningful if there was a Sof Achiyuv. But again, we're going to see Tosus takes a different approach. So the Gemara answers the following. Hocha b'may askinon. And this you'll see about six lines up before the end of the Omud. Kigon shehigbio al menas latznio. So we're talking about a case in this brisa where the ganav did not have originally in mind to take the gneva out of the rishus habaylim and bring it into the rishus harabim. Hence, it cannot be considered an akira. Why is it not an akira? So the Gemara is going to claim that in order to have an Akira, we need a special Kavana at the time of the Akira to be Motzi. That's going to be the whole Sugi Rav Yochai that we started at the end of last week. And therefore, Nimlach Olav Lotzio, at some point in time, he decides, while he's carrying the object, so it's not like he put it down and picked it up a second time, he's still carrying it as a continuation of his original Hagbah. So the original Akbar is still in motion, it has momentum to it. And the original Akbar was not Almanas Lahotzi, it was Almanas Latznia. Then at some point, while he's carrying it, he decides he's going to take it out into the Rishus HaRabim. Well, in that case, his Chiyuv Misa, again, I'll get back to this in a second, his Chiyuv Misa is going to start later on. And that's what the price is for. So again, if he had picked up the kiss in Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaBailim, Almanas LeHotzio, then we would apply the principle of Rabbi Ovin of Akira L'Tzorech Hanocha, and then he would be potter from paying for the Gneva because he already started his Chiyuv at the time that he lifted up the kiss, and at that moment he was Chayav as a Ganav. So we have the overlap of the Chiyuv Misa, or the Tchilas Chiyuv Misa, we'll call it, and the Chiyuv Mamon, and therefore he's potter. But the Braisa was addressing a different case. When he originally picked up the kiss, what was his intention? Let's see. He's going to leave it somewhere in a hidden corner. He's going to hide it. Again, the Shita Mekubetz, if you recall, says that ultimately he's going to bring it out anyway. So isn't that considered Almanas Lahotzi? But right now, we're at this stage, we're very naive here. We're going with the straightforward Pshat in the Gemara, and it's Almanas Latznio. At some point later, after he's already incurred a Chiyuv Ganov, he begins his Otzah. So the Gemara says, when did he begin his Otzah? You're telling me Nimlach Alov Lotzio? He never even began. I mean, the Braisa clearly says that he's chayev mamon as a ganav before he's chayev skila. So there must be a point at which he's chayev skila. According to you, if he continued his original akbah, his original akira, which was an akira haptura, because we shalom manas lahotzi, is kai gavna mi chayev. V'omer Rav Siva, Rav Yochanan, mafanach hafotzi mi zavis lezavis, is nimach aleim lotzion potter. Shol lohoisa, akira rishona, Mishar Rishona Lekach, meaning if the Akira was not an Akira with Kavana, then at some point you're going to have to start a new Akira. But Nimlach, the word Nimlach means that he didn't start a new Akira. So you just finished telling me that the Bryce is talking about a case of Nimlach, where the original Akira and Agbo was not Lashem Hotzav Uzad Almanas Latzir. So when does he start a new Akira? Nimlach means he never started a new Akira. So the Gemara says, Lo Tema, we have to sort of brush it up a little bit. It's not Almanas Latznio, Ela Ema Almanas Lehotzio. Well, wait a minute. If it was Almanas Lehotzio, then we're back to square one. This should be Akira Litzarech Hanocha. I mean, we're in a bind over here. Mimonosha. If the Akira was a valid Akira, we don't know why he's Chayev for Gneva. And if you're going to say that the Akira is not a valid Akira, you don't have the right Kavanah, then we don't know why he's Chayev for Shabbos. So the Gemara comes up with a new concept here. It was Almanas Lehotzio, but he terminated that original Akira. What does that mean, he terminated the original Akira? It's not a case of Nimlach, but Hochmai Eskini Kisha Amad. So what does he do? The movement of his body is considered Akira. But when he stops his body at some point, that's considered Hanocha. And the significance of that is twofold. Number one, it means that if he crossed over, whether it's Dalet Amos or Rishus L'Rishus from Rishus Ayot, then once he stops, he's Chai for Hanocha. But at the same time, it means something else entirely. It means that he's Mevatel the Akira. And when he starts walking again,
it's a new Akira,
exactly. So what justifies the Brice of Rabibi Barbai? Why is he Chayav Mishum Gneva? And the answer is because that original Akira would never actually materialize into an Akira Machayevis, because he stops in the middle. So before he left the Rishus Abaylam and crossed over the boundary line into Rishus Aramim, he made a stop, he made an Amida. Then when he starts walking a second time, he has a new Akira to replace the first Akira. Well, as far as the first Akira is concerned, that becomes a dud, if you follow my point. And therefore he's Chai for Gneva already at that point. There was no Akira Machayevis at that moment of Hagbah. But now he's going to be Chai for Skila, because of a new Akira, when he starts walking a second time and crosses over into Rishus Rav. Honestly, I'm not sure at this point why the Gemara doesn't ask Pshita Maika Mashmala. Meaning, the Braisa seems to be Mechadesh. Well, let me ask it as a question. What is the Chiddush of the Braisa? I'm going to give you two possibilities, A or B. Tell me which one you prefer. The first possibility is that the Chiddush of the Braisa is a Chiddush in Hilchos Kimlev the Rabbah Mineh, meaning that he's Chayev for Gneva. And the second possibility is to say that the Brice is being Mechadish a new Allah in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Hotzah and Shabbos. Well, what impression do you get when you read the Brice? Is it A or B? It's A, correct? Because what does the Brice say? The Brice says, Chayev Shekvar Neschayev B'Gneva Kom Shiyom Lidei Yisus Skiva. The Braisa doesn't seem to be addressing the halachas of Hotzah here to ask, you know, what are the rigorous requirements of Hotzah. You know, you need an Akira and you can't stop in the middle, and then you need to replace the Akira and so forth. But rather, there's a time issue here. There's a time lapse between the Chiv Gneva and the Chiv Skila. Yeah. And therefore, he's going to be higher for the Chiv Gneva already at the moment of lifting up the kiss. But now we're saying that that original Akira was not an Akira Machayeves. Why? Because he stopped. And once he stops, he undermines or terminates his Akira. Again, there's going to be another Akira afterwards, and he's going to be Chayev Skila because of the other Akira. But that has nothing to do with the first Akira. So what was the Hava Mina in Hilchus Kimlei for the Rabba Mina that we would apply that principle in a case where there was one Akira, which was a dud, as we call it. It never amounted, it never materialized in a Chiyuv Shabbos. And then there was a second Akira, when at the time of the first Akira, it was only Chai for Gneva. In other words, if I were writing the Gemara at this point, I would have said, Pshita Vayka Mashma. Again, if you want to tell me you're being Mechadish Kiddushim in Hilchas Hotzah, to say that if a person carries something and then he stops dead in his tracks, so then he has to create a new Akira and he's not high for the old Akira. Okay, that could have tremendous repercussions in Hilchus Shabbos, but I don't know how you'd stuff that into the Braisa here.
Say that the Braisa is cholik on the idea of Ha'idna.
Cholik on the idea of?
Ha'idna.
Of being
defining Ha'idna, not being simultaneous, but close enough.
Oh, in other words, there was a havanina to say that if he has two akiros and he's chayev for mamon with the first akira, and he's not going to be chayev for Shabbos with the first akira, but there was a havanina that when he follows through the second akira, that maybe the second akira, which generates a chiyuv misa, would somehow, again, I don't want to use the word lamafreya, but would somehow kick in, as you say, it's close enough to the first akira, that we can extend the Kimlei of the Rabbeinu to as an umbrella, and we can even expand the Kimlei of the Rabbeinu to the first akira. I would like to say it a little bit different, but very similar. That maybe there was a havamina that after his amida, he can now continue the original akira. What does that mean? And again, I'm using the Shita Mekubetzes here, that what happens here? His initial intention was on an Asla Hotzi. Why? Let's put it, again, using the Shita Mekubetzes, let's put it in psychological terms. He wants to take this wallet for himself. So even if he, again, in the original answer to the Gemara, which the Gemara dropped already, but in the original answer he was going to place it in some hiding place within the Rishus HaBailin, but ultimately he's going to take it out. Now we're dropping that. We're not even saying that his initial intention was to keep it in the Rishus HaBailin. So therefore it was all Manas Lo Tzio. So as far as the Gneva is concerned, his intention was to do a Hotzah, which would have been a Hotzah Machayevis. But instead, all of a sudden, in the middle, he decides to stop. Let's say he got tired, the Gemara's going to go through the various, you know, scenarios or possible explanations as to why he stopped. Did he stop because he had to move things around, or he stopped because he was tired, whatever. But in a sense, the replacement of the first Akira with a second Akira was not part of the original plan. So I think what maybe the Gemara is saying is that even in Hilchus Kimlei the Rabbeinu, there was some sort of a Havamina that the second Akira, since it wasn't really part of the original plan, it doesn't completely undermine the first Akira. The first Akira is still somehow alive. So what would make the first Akira still alive? So the Gemara asks the following. Let's try to analyze. Why did he stop? Did he really want to terminate his original Akira? Omad Lamai, Ilekatef, if it was necessary for him to achieve his Hotzah by standing, notice he has to take a little bit of a break. Again, I don't know what the size of the kiss is. Maybe it was a major pocketbook. I mean, I remember once I was in Europe, I saw this lady with a pocketbook. It looked more like a valise than a pocketbook. So I don't know. Kiss, the word kiss usually refers to a wallet. But maybe it was a gigantic kiss. You know, the Gemara says that you could put a get inside a kiss, right? The Gemara talks, if she's holding on to the kiss, then that becomes like a chotzer. In any event, the Gemara says the following, there's a possibility that he took a break here, not because he wanted to terminate his original Akira, but only lekate. Lekate means he's shifting it around. So the Gemara says in such a case, urchehu, again, we're back to square one, because we're going to assume now that the Amida, in the case of Amida Lakati, does not undermine his original what? Akira. The original Akira is still alive and well. It's kicking, it's active. Now, if that be the case, then we're back to our original question of Rabbi Yovan. We should say Akira Litzarcha Nocha, because you've now validated the original Akira, and we never terminated the original Akira. We never put it to rest. Pardon the pun, right? Because he wasn't resting. Ella says the Gemara, Bomid Lafush. It must be a case where he terminated his original Akira because he got tired and he wants to take a rest. So basically at this point, I mean, the Gemara is going to have a liflog velisni b'dida kind of argument here, but before we get to that, at this point in the development of the sugya, we're really on good solid ground. We're going to say that the original Akira is gone. He's still chayav for Shabbos because he decided to continue on his path, and he replaced the first Akira with the second Akira. As far as the Akbar of the kiss is concerned, he's chayav for Gneva because that Akbar never actually materialized in an Akira Machayevis. So now the Gemara has a technical problem in accepting this Ukimta in the Braisa Rabbini. Says the Gemara, Avolakatef Mai, you're telling me that there is a case in which we would apply Kimleb the Rabbini because the original Akira is still alive and well. That would be called what? Omeid Lekatev. If that be the case, he would be parted from Tashlum because of the Akbar. The original Akbar is Weisschayev. So even though he took a break, but he only took a break because he wanted to shift things around and make sure that he could carry it all the way out to Rishus HaRabim, is Adetani. Why does the Bryce in the safe in order to come up with a case of Kim Levin Rabbi? He has to come up with a case of Magarav Yotze, and that's why he's potter. Why is he potter with Kim Levin Rabbi? Because he took it out from one Rishus to the other, and it was never Akbar in the Rishus of the Bailim. And if it was never Akbar in the Rishus of the Bailim, then his Kinyan Gneva, which generates a Kinyan Gneva as Mammon, is incurred the very moment he crosses the boundary between Rishus HaYoch and Rishus HaRabim. Well, at that very split second, he's Chayav for Shabbos. Is Niflog V'Lisni B'Dida? Why do you have to introduce Megara V'Yotze? Even in a normal case, where he's carrying the kiss in his hand, and he's not dragging it on the ground, so he did his Akbar. Now you want to come up with a scenario in which we would apply Kimleb the Rabbine, because the original Akbar is an Akira Machayeves, and the Brisa should have said the following, but Medvam, when is he Chayav? When do we get rid of the original Akira? That's only for Omeid Lafush, he wants to rest. And that terminates his Akira. Avolakatev Potter, but we could apply the principle of Kimleb the Rabbine in a case where the original Akira continues, despite the fact that he stopped dead in his tracks. But he only did so because of what? Lekatev. And if he only stopped dead in his tracks because of Lekatev, that doesn't break up the Hemshech, the continuation, the continuity of the Akira. Hence, we're going to apply the principle of Kimleb the Rabbine.
But Lafush?
But if he's Lafush, then we're going to say that he's Chayav for Gneva because he needs to replace the original Akira with the second Akira.
So Lafush is like
and
the end.
What?
Lafush is the end of the Akira.
Correct, the termination of the Akira. Finito. The Akira is gone. Hang it up on a peg. We're finished with it. Why? Because he was Omeid Lafush. Omeid Lafush means Lanua. Once he's Omeid Lanuach, it's not a continuity of the original carrying and the Alicha and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we're going to apply the principle of Chayav, meaning that he's already Chayav for Akbar, he's tied the Gneva, there's no Chayav Akira. But now you want to come up with a scenario in the safe of this price where we would apply Kimli and Ramine. Why do you have to stretch your arm out to create this very far out case of Megara V'Yotze, he's dragging the kiss on the ground? Forget about that. He was Omeid, but not Omeid Lafush, but rather Omeid Lekatef. And Omeid Lekatef means that
it's still going.
Exactly, it's still going. Excellent, it's still going. So at this point, the Gemara is not happy. The Gemara doesn't have an answer to the question of why he's not potter in the Reisha based on the principle of Akira L'tzorech Hanocha. And this whole distinction here between Omeid Lafush and Omeid Lekatef is not satisfactory because of Liflog V'Lisni B'Dida. So Liflog V'Lisni B'Dida is a very powerful principle in the Gemara. I mean, you see it here, right in front of our eyes. I mean, the Gemara is now reinterpreting the brisa because of liflog glisni v'dida. Meaning we can't accept your explanation of the brisa that he was omeid lafush. Because if he was omeid lafush in that brisa, then the brisa should have qualified and said, well, what would be if he was omeid lakatev? And that the brisa doesn't do. Ella, but rather we're going to have to reinterpret the brisa in a different light. And that is that you don't need an amida to terminate your akira. If the akira is an akira saguf, then every single time you put your foot down on the ground, that's called a hanocha. That's already breaks up the original akira. That's ben azai. Elohamani, who's the author of this brisa? Ben azai, he... The Omar Mahalech ke ome dummy. This is really strange. If Mahalech, what?
We don't accept that.
Yeah, because if you would accept Ben Azai, yeah, then when would you be chayev for Mavir Daladavis Bishus Arab?
Never.
You can never be chayev because every time you put your foot down, so the Gemara says b'kafatz, you know, so you have to be an Olympic
long jump.
You have to be an Olympic long jump. I mean, you're talking about 4 amas, which is about 8 feet. I would assume that from me to you, Jeff, would probably be about dalet amas, maybe a little less, maybe. But still, you know, that's the only case which the Torah had in mind that Yechai from Avra dalet amas according to Ben Azai. Okay, but that's Ben Azai. You know, he's entitled to his shita. I always say that, you know, when here in Abbey Spanish we have a bunch of singles, you know, older singles. It's an issue here in Catamon, you know, older singles. You know what I mean? My wife and I have been trying for a long time, and your wife also gets involved, and try to make shidduchim. And it's so strange because they come up with such interesting ideas. I invite them for a Shabbos meal. And I don't know, it's a different mentality. You know, so anytime I hear a strange thing, I mumble under my breath, don't publicize it. An out the buck. Do you remember that phrase, an out the buck? Okay. So Ben Azai came up with this strange idea. Okay, he was an out the buck.
Yeah.
He never got married, Ben Azai. In any event, so the Gemara says about Ben Azai that Mahalik Ome Dome. Mahalik Ome Dome. So if you take a look at this Tosis Mahalika Omi Dami, he says Mavir Arba Amos the Chayvish Saram Hilchas Agamirale. It has to be a Hilchas Agamirale because otherwise, logically, how would Ben Azai justify in a normal case Mavir Daladas Bishus Saram because it's always going to be Mahalika Omi Dami? So that's the sugya at the beginning of Perakat Zorik. I want to read to you a comment here in the Masifta. He writes, "Mahalik ka'omi domi, shekol psia upsia shadam holech, he akira v'hanocha b'fnei atzma." When you take a step, even though again you're continuing, but the very moment that you take that step, meaning you put your foot down, you have started an akira and ended with hanocha. The kaman shekol hanocha mevatelis es hakira shekadmala. Right, every hanocha, once the Torah recognizes it as hanocha, it neutralizes and terminates the original hakira, the previous hakira. Nimtza shakira shemachmosa chay chal of chiyuv misa. Right, is only when he leaves the rishus habaylim, which is the rishus hayochid, and he puts his foot down into rishus haramin. Vehi apsia achrona. Entering into Rishus Harabim, for Gneva, that took place way before that Kodem Lechein B'Shoshik B'yas Achefes B'Rishus HaBailim. The Kevan Sheba Chiv Tashlumin Kodem Chiv Misa is Ein Ptur Eka Ptur Shel Kimlin Rami. He's very, I think he did a great job. He doesn't need my but it's beautifully put here. In the Masifta.
But Ben Azai would agree that not just kofetz, but running. The difference between running and walking is when you're walking, every time you put a foot down, both your feet are on the ground at the same time.
Is that what you're saying? Your own story or the Gemara actually says?
No, this is my story.
Because I don't remember the Gemara saying.
And then you put the back foot up. When you're one foot's down, the other one's up in the air already.
Right. But I think the Gemara says that according to Ben Azai, it's only kofetz. Take a look on Sarivo.
I believe you.
All right, no, you don't have to believe me. I mean, I haven't learned that Zorik for a long time. Anyway, so now we have the following explanation. Why is it that according to the Braisa, you're chayev for Gneva? Because the Akira HaMechayevus is going to come later on, at the moment that he leaves the Rishus HaBailim and enters and puts his foot down into Rishus HaRam. By that time, he's long chayev for Gneva, long go chayev for Gneva. Okay. But now the question is, Would interpreting this Braisa according to Ben Azai expose the Braisa to the same exact objection of Liflog Velisni Medida? Why? Because Ben Azai is talking about a case where you're walking, that's called Mahalech, but not if you're throwing something, correct? So if you're throwing something, I will Zorek my potter. If that be the case, if Liflog you don't have to come on to Megavil. It's Bamed Murim Wendy says Chai for Gneva and there's no Kim Lev Rami, that's only the Mahalech. Why? Because then the moment he puts his foot down, he's already being Meniach and he's Mavatel, the original Akira. Aval Zorek, what would be in the case where he throws an object? Let's say he steals the kiss and he throws it from one Rishus to the other, from the Rishus Bailim to the Rishus Harab, and at the same time he's Korea Shirayim. No, in that case we would certainly apply the principle of Kimle Rabbi because there was no Hanukkah whatsoever. Unless you hold like Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva Shita? Kluto Kamisha Urcha Dami. Then again you're gonna have a problem because maybe there's Hanukkah. So the Gemara says the following. Megare v'yotze itzterchle. Now the Rishonim are going to ask if the Gemara now is throwing out even the previous liflog v'lisnidita, which would allow us to get back to Amida and differentiate between Amida lofush and Amida lekate. Salke daitach Amina ein derech otzah b'kacha mashmalon. Now at this point, I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that the chiddush of the Braisa here is not kimlev the Ramine. The chiddush of the Braisa is in hilfus otzah, and I would have thought, if not for this braisa, that you're not chayv for megar v'yotze. Megar v'yotze is not a chiyuv hotzah. And this has tremendous repercussions, because it means that any time I drag something on the floor, I'm going to be potter from hotzah. And that's the halach of kidarko. Now, again, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. Did I push this for you? I'm so surprised. That was an accident. So I want to say the following, that there's a universal principle for Shalom Kedak, but I don't think that's what the Gemara has in mind here. Right, a universal principle of Shalom Kedak would mean that you radically change the Tzura, you know, in such a way that no one under normal circumstances would do it that way. You know, let's say, for example, the Gemara talks about hot chalev. You know, you boil hot chalev and he pours it down his throat. You know, he's burning his throat, you know.
Sweet. You're talking about Shabbos. This is a different concept.
Oh, excellent. That's what I wanted to say. That here we're not talking about universal lokedarka. This shalokedarka of dragging something would never, ever, ever be considered shalokedarka in any case whatsoever.
But who says it is here? Maybe it is kedarka. It's a heavy keys. It's a safe.
Ah. So then the Gemara is stuck. But keep in mind the Braisa is covering all cases. So if we can find one case where there's a chiddush, then that's enough to justify the Braisa. So what's the chiddush? The chiddush would be in a case where he could have easily have carried it, lifted it up and carried it. Instead, he decided to drag it. So I would have said that's the hava mina. Ma'u desema. I'm sorry. Salke taitecham mina. Ein derech otzah v'kach. Again, I don't think this Havamina would make sense in universal terms. No. Where would you be potter for dragging something? I don't know. In Kinyanim, for example, no one has a doubt that you could be koneh something when you drag it on the floor. Or let's say, for example, there's an Isra on Pesach, you know, of Lahotzi, Yesach Pesach, Michabur, Chabur. So he drags it into the next Chabur. So we're going to say it's Ein Darka B'kach. Ein Darka B'kach means it's a radical change in the whole Tzuras HaMaisa. And it's ineffective. You know, like you talk about sewing with you know, zigzag stitches. You know, that's called Ein Kedarka. Or the Gemara has Shalom Kedarka in a case where he, you know, he takes something with his behind his back instead of in front. You know, they're really
simple right hand, left hand.
Right hand, left hand, excellent. That would be a difference in not only in Shabbos, but in Kol Tarkula, in Get, for example. I mean, the Abdinesis says if he writes the Get with his left hand, he's a righty, the Get is possible. That's like the Torah says, because of law. But that's only because it's a radical change in the Tzuras HaMaisa. And you can see the differences in the Nifal, you know, the but here, I don't know what difference to make. If you have to get it out there into Rosh Hashanah, then you can do it this way, you can do it that way.
Yeah, but some things are just not done. I mean, what you're taking is a...
Right, that's the Shalom Kedak of Kol Tarkul. It's just not done.
Yeah, you have a sandwich, you're not going to... It's gray rub, you're not going to eat the sandwich after it.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, he's talking about a kiss here. They're just saying that that I think the answer to that problem here, and that's where Rabbi Sachtowicz was pointing out, is the difference between Kol Tarkul and Shabbos. In Shabbos, there's a unique halacha of kedarka, that it has to be a meleches makshavos. You have to do it exactly the way it was done by the professionals in the Mishkan. And unless I can find that this is the way to do it, then you'd be potter. So let's say if you disagree with the Avdei Nezer, let's say you hold that ksivas get with the left hand would be kosher, not like the Avdei Nezer, then only in Shabbos you'd be potter. The Mishnah says beferish in Perek HaKosiv that you're Perek HaBonah, that you're potter for writing with the left hand. So we see that in Shabbos there's a halacha not only in the nifal but even in the poel, meaning not only in the way the malacha ends up, but in the way you did the malacha. So you can do the malacha in a way that'll end up perfectly, but you did it in a strange way. That was a havim. So what's the kamashmal on here? Are we saying the kamashmal is that this is the derech hotzah? And again, we may say that maybe it was a heavy kiss or something like that. Or maybe the Gemara is telling us that in Meleches Hotzah, we have a whole different set of rules and regulations. What do I mean? What is Meleches Hotzah? Again, in the constellation of 39 Melechas, it's called what? I'm sorry, I'm testing you. You know, it's called a Halacha Grua. Halacha Grua, right? Halacha Grua. So Tosfos says at the beginning of Shabbos that because it's a Halacha Grua, we have all sorts of different regulations that apply. And the normal halachas of Hilchos Shabbos don't apply to Hotzah. Tosfos says the reason for that is because in Hotzah, as opposed to the other 38, you don't change the object physically. It's the same identical object, you only change its location. So the Torah is Machadi said changing its location is Chayav. And if that be the case, it could be that what Gemara is saying is that even if Megar v'yotzei would qualify in Hilchos Shabbos in another malacha. I don't know exactly which malacha we can pinpoint, but in theory, in concept, in another malacha, it would be considered shalom kedarka. But in Meleches Hotzah, you're chayiv not for the pu'ula, you're chayiv for the relocation of the object. And whatever method you use, even if it would not be the normal way of doing it, but you relocated the object, that's enough to be mechayiv. But he quotes on the bottom here that that the Rishonim say that Kamashmalan means that Greira is considered Derech Hotzah, that's considered Kedak. I thought that maybe you could say differently, but that's what he says. Now the Rishonim asks the following question. When the Gemara asked Liflok Velisna Bdida in the case of Omed Lafush, why didn't you mention Omed Lakatev? The Gemara didn't give this answer that we wanted to mechadish a special chiddush in Megar v'yotzei. Why did the Gemara postpone this answer until after it introduced Ben Azai of Mahalik Ka'ome Dome? Right, that according to Ben Azai, Mahalik Ka'ome Dome is, why don't you tell me about Zerika? So the Gemara says, I want to tell you Bezundra Chiddush in the case of Megar v'yotzei. But before, when the Gemara asked about Omi Lakatev, why didn't you add up a mentor and worm that Omi Lakatev would be part of it? For what? For Gneva? And the Gemara didn't give this answer of Kamashmalon that he wanted to be Mechadish in this Chiddush of Megar v'yotzei. So Amaylo Tirtza Gemara Gamke Chirotza Brais Lashmiya Chiddush Zesha Megar v'yotzei. So this is the subject of Tosfos Dibur Maskil Megar v'yotzei. And basically, Tosfos representing a lot of Rishonim here say that there's a difference between the original discussion about of Omid Lakatev and Omid Lafush, as opposed to this discussion about Zrika. And he says the following, that the Gemara thinks in the case of Zrika that we have a major chiddush over here. Just 1 second. The Omer Lekati Potu. I'm sorry. Just the other way around. Yeah, I just got to get the chesed. In the case of Omer Lekatev, the Gemara is of the opinion that that limitation, that Bamedvar Mamurim, differentiating between Omer Lofush and Omer Lekatev, is in itself a radical chiddush. I'll explain it in a minute. Right. So therefore, even though Liflo Glisni V'Yidah, you could answer with the point of what of Megar V'Yotze Kamashmalan. We thought it was Shalom Kedarka. That's less of a chiddush. You know, again, we're weighing chidushim here. You know, how strong was the Havmin and how big was the of a chidush was the Maskana. So the Bali Atosis and other Rishonim are going to say that on the scale, you know, the chidush of Omer Lekatev, that you'd be chayev in such a case, even though you actually physically stopped, right? You stop. I mean, do you follow? Whether the original Akira is still alive or it's dead really depends on what's in your mind. Mm-hmm. It's not a difference in the Tzuras HaPu'ula. We'll get to Zrik in a second. It's a difference in what's in your mind. As far as the Amida is concerned, it's the same identical Amida. If you took a video camera, we would not know whether the original Akira is still inactive because he's Lekatev, or whether the original Akira is gone because it was Lofush. There's no way you can know that. So it's a Gevaldik Chiddush that says that although Omeid Lofush is considered the end, the termination of the Akira, and why? Because the object is no longer in motion. But nevertheless, in the case of Lekatev, where the object is no longer in motion, it's still considered a hemshech of the original Akira. So don't tell me Megar V'Yotzei Kamashmalan. Oh, now we get to our case. In our case, the Gemara thinks the Bryce has the choice of either being Mechadish, what the law would be according to Benazi and Zrika, or being Mechadish, what's the law of Shalom Kedarko in Megar V'Yotzei. And here the Gemara tips the scale in favor of the Chiddush of Megar V'Yotzei. It's relative to Mekatev, it's a lower level Chiddush. It doesn't have that much weight to it. But relative to Zrika, I mean, it was never a Havamina that according to Ben Azai, you would be potter for Zrika. I mean, the whole point of Ben Azai was because of Mahalik. In the case of Zrika, there's no Mahalik. He doesn't put his foot down, so it's one fell swoop. That's not such a big Chiddush. And therefore, the Gemara says that the Braisa would have preferred a bigger Chiddush. So the Liflo V'Lisni D'Yidah is a lower level of an argument in a case where the Chiddush is a lower level of a Chiddush. Now, why don't you tell me this Chiddush, that in Zrika you'd be Chayev? Well, that's not such a bombastic Chiddush, and therefore I don't need Liflo V'Lisni D'Yidah. It's written between the lines in the Braisa. But the Braisa wants a Mechadish, that Megar V'Yotzei, that's considered an Akira Mechayeves and a Hanocha Mechayeves, even though it's Shalom Derech Hotzol V'Kach. And now we get to the rabbi's point. What was exactly this kiss? You know, how large was the wallet? Ubimai. Iber Rav Ravei. If we're talking about a very heavy wallet, you know, a woman's pocketbook, it's this, you know, it's full of who knows how much stuff, right? Is then, I always say that a woman's pocketbook is like a refrigerator. Do you know what I mean? What's the lowest comment that I mean?
You never find your children.
Yeah, everything goes in there. Nothing goes out of there. You know, until finally it turns colors and it grows hairs. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, now I have an idea of patenting, but now I read about it. But I had this idea 25 years ago, so I should have read patented that. You know, a computerized fridge that tells you exactly what's in the fridge, what date you put it in, and what date it turns green. Anyway. So he says the following: Iba Rav Ravei, if this is a gigantic pocketbook, then Urchehu, that you can't expect a person to carry such a pocketbook, right? This is the case of the famous case of what's it called Kisei V'Safsa. I left out one of my books.
Kisei.
Yeah, but what is Kisei V'Safsa? What was the third one?
Mita.
Oh, Gar Kisei Mita V'Safsa. That is very heavy, and therefore he drags it, right? So that's not Shalom Kedarko. That's called Urche. Oh, but Iba Zutre, if we're talking about a regular sized wallet, then Lav Urche. The Gemara says that this is really ain't Derech Hotzos Mekach. He can't be Chayiv in such a case. Why? Because this already this already appear. This already fulfills the prototype of Shalom Kedarko. Ela b'mitzeh. So we're going to have to talk about a middle-sized kiss, which he could have carried, you know, made an extra effort, and instead he drags it on the ground. So on the one hand, you know, it's a little bit shalom kedarko, but it's not radically shalom kedarko.
Now we should distinguish between someone who's strong enough to do a mitzvah and someone who's
very good.
If it was old,
you mean maybe it's relative to the person, right?
Yes.
That's an excellent point. I don't know what the answer to that question is. You know, you remind me of the Gemara about the women who used to carry the baskets on their head. So the Gemara says that they're chayv mishumo tzah, but you and I would not be chayv mishumo tzah. For us, it would be shalok derech tzah b'kas. You see, there is an element of subjectivity. But I think over there, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, it depends on countries, I think, that in certain countries it would be shalok derech, in other countries it would be kederech. Udi afki lehecha. Oh, so now we have to figure out whether or not we have an overlap here of gneva plus achiv Shabbos. Idi afki l'shusarabim is isur Shabbos ika, but isur gneva leka. Why is isur gneva leka? In other words, he doesn't make a kinyan because there's a difference between meshich and agbah. So it works like this. In the case of Agbah, your Agbah is machayev you, even in the Rishus HaBailim, as far as Gneva and Kinyon and Gneva are concerned. In the case of Mashicha, you have to take it out of the Rishus HaBailim and bring it into the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara now holds that in Hilchas Kinyonim, Mashicha from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim is not Kona.
It's not Kona.
That's going to be Machlokas later on, right here, Masechet Ksubos, between Rav Acha and Ravina. And the Gemara here is reflecting the Shita Rav Acha that Mashiach is not Kona Bershus Arab.
Period. I mean, it's not a matter that it wasn't Dalal Amos. It
doesn't matter how many Amos. You cannot be Kona something with Mashiach by dragging it into Rishus Arab. You have to take it into your own private Rishus. We'll see about a Simta, okay, that's a different issue.
So you're Kona a cow, you have to. So it's not yours until you take it into your house.
Into your house, right? According to Rav Acha, because Rishus HaRabim is not enough.
Yeah, okay.
Because you never really control. You know, you have to bring it into your control. And in the case of Mashiach, you don't really control it. Mashiach is only a way of getting it to a certain location. Well, if you bring it into Rishus HaRabim, that's not your location. You're not the boss there. That you haven't done what's called Hafganat Baalut. You know, you haven't demonstrated your ownership. That's according to Rav Acha, which is going to be the next sugya here in the Gemara, the machlokas between Rav Acha and Ravina. Oh, v'i the afki rishus hayochid, if he took it out of the rishus of the nignav of the bialim and he brought it to his own private rishus, is an isur gneva. I understand that he was kona with mashicha because he took it into private rishus. But he's a Shabbos lek. He took it from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid. So that's pretty much the sugi. So B'li Neder, we'll stop here because I want to get to the Ra'ah and the Tosis. And B'li Neder will pick up the Hemshech HaSugi tomorrow. So let's look at Tosis. And then we'll go back to the Ra'ah. So Tosis is here on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amen Aleph. Dibra Maskel Hochen Nami. Yes, it's the fourth tosis before the end.
And I'm in name of Hagbara Tzorach Hotzai.
Yeah, so it's four tosis up from the bottom, if you can. So again, in Gemara's Kasha, Mosif Rabbi Bibar Baye, there's an analogy between Rabbi Ovin, who has formulated the principle of Akir Tzorach Hanocha, and the case of Hagonev Kis, where he does the Hagbara, and then he takes it out to the Rishus HaRabim. I'm sorry, or if he takes the Dalet Amos versus HaRabim. And in both of these cases, the Gemara thinks we should apply the principle of Litzorech. Now, wait a second. We just had a sugya, not today, but yesterday. I mean, whenever yesterday was, I don't remember, but of Tzorech. And we said that Litzorech only applies in a case like Akira Tzorach Hanocha, where you need the Akira in order to achieve the Hanocha. But let's say, for example, you could have sidestepped that Akira. For example, let's say in the case where he lifts up the Chelev and then he eats it. Did he have to lift up the Chelev in order to be Chayv for Achilas Chelev? He could have been down and eaten from the ground. Here too, who says that he has to lift up the kiss in order to be chai for Shabbos when he puts it down in Rishus Harab, and therefore it's Akira, it's an Akira L'tzor Hanoch, because Ein Hanoch below Akira. Why do you have to lift it up? The lifting it up is a preliminary action which was not necessary. And if you recall, the Gemara in its first Lashon says that we only apply Akira Tzorach Hanoch when it's Iefsha B'lav Hachi. Well, here it's not Iefsha B'lav Hachi, because here he simply could have been Gor V'yotze. So Tosis says, L'lishna D'iboya Dure Lo Motzi Mahader. I'm sorry. Lishna the Amri, according to the second Lishna, which says the Boila Dure O Lomotzi Lamahader, that the reason why Akira Tzorach Hanoch is only in the case of what? Of Zrikas HaChetz, is Lo Parach Midi. Because at any moment, he can decide to terminate before he takes it out into the Rishus HaRabim. He's carrying a kiss. Oh, so what is the underlying premise of this makshon, of this Rav Bibi? That's the lishna, the first lishna of the efshal anocha b'lo akira parach tochinami efshal anocha b'lo agba. Whoa, what do you mean efshal? So these are the words that we want to underline here, right? If you're into underlining, this could be another part of Tosa that we have to underline. So here's my question to you. I'm not going to ask you what Tosis is saying, but I'm going to ask you what Tosis is not saying, if you follow what I mean. Because I'm not ready to figure out what Tosis is saying, but I know what he's not saying. He's not saying what the Ra'ah would have said in this place. The Ra'ah would have said that Efshal is Chayev. L'schayev al hanocha below akira, right? Because the Ra'ah is of the opinion that what is Rabbi Ovin based upon? He wants to get the tchilas chiyuv misa with the akira. Again, he's not chayev yet; he has to do the hanocha. But we're going to say that he's begun the process, the avera hamachayeves, with the akira. That's not what it says here in Tosis. Tosis uses a different language. And Tosis' language is Efshar la nocha below agba, whatever that means, because we're going to see that Tosis is going to slug that up in just a second. But he's learning in terms of Efshar. Efshar is a metzius. It's not a din. You know, he's not telling you about the nature of the chi of Hotzah, and where does Akira fit into the constellation of the Machayev of Hotzah. But rather, he's asking whether or not he absolutely needed this agba in order to eventually lift it, to place it down in Rishus HaRabim. I mean, presumably, if his hands are tied behind his back, unless he's a magician, how's he going to get this kiss out into Rishus HaRabim? So the only way he can achieve this Hotzah is through the Agbah. He's got to lift it up, and henceforth he can carry it and then put it down. But you can't avoid the Agbah. Well, maybe you could avoid the Agbah. And that's what he asks now. I forgot the Efshem Begreira. What does that mean? He didn't have to lift it up. The Hagbah itself was not the necessary precondition for Melechus Hotzah. He could have been Chayv from Melechus Hotzah without Hagbah, namely through what? Through Greira. And then he says the Efshem Greira, and Tosis rejects this. This is not a problem. This is not. You see, do you understand the import of this Afal Gav before we see the answer? Right, Riafal Gav the Efshem Begreira. This has tremendous repercussions in terms of the Shaklavatari and the Sugya. Why? Because Tosis has just pointed out that according to the second Lishna of Iboy Ladure, the Gemara has no kasha whatsoever, because this case is certainly not Efshel Ladure. So by process of elimination, we only have one other Lishna, that's the first Lishna, and that was that, you know, Efshel Aniyah below Akira. Well, let's see if that plugs in here to the case of Gorev Kis. The Tos says, V'yafu gav di efshu begreira. So if it's efshu begreira, that means he could be chai from lechas hotso without this akira of hagbah. So if you're holding in Tosas kashi of the afal gav di efshu begreira, then we're really in deep trouble, because by process of elimination, the Gemara's kasha doesn't work out according to either of the two lashonos. Now, Tosas, in a sense, has boxed himself into a corner. The only way we could understand Masiv Rabibi Bar Baye is if we assume, like the first Lishna, no way can we reconcile this kasha with the second Lishna, because clearly it's Efshel Adure. He could back at him. So now it was by default we're stuck with the first Lishna, but the first Lishna says that this is the way he has to do the Anocha. He has to do the Anocha as a result of the Akira. So therefore, when he shoots the arrow, there's no way that he can get the arrow over there without first projecting the arrow. That's the Akira. So the Akira is necessary in order to achieve the Anocha. Mm-hmm. Well, what about this? Is the Hagbah necessary in order to achieve the Anocha? Mm-hmm. Tosfos says Efshel Begreira. Yeah. So I understand where Tosfos is at now. You know, he's standing at a very dangerous precipice here. There's no way to go. So Tosfos gives the following answer, which is a bit mysterious, ambiguous, I don't know. He says, Kachli Akira Zuk Ma Akira Acheres.
So he's equating them.
He's saying that it makes no difference whether you do Akira through Hagbah, you do Akira through Greira. What difference does it make? Now again, what difference does it make? I don't know. I mean, you know, you could always ask the question whether or not Tosis now is backtracking. I don't know. Again, if we take the Lashon of Tosis in the Reisha, before we get to the Sefer, Mali Akira Zu, Mali Akira Acheres, he says the Efshel Anocha below Hagbah. Why does he drop the ball? How does he change his mind on the premise of Tosis's pshat here in the sugya, in order to reconcile Rabbi Barbai with the first Lishna, is the Efshel Anocha below Hagbah. Like we said by Anochi, Efshel Anocha below Akira. But then Tosis says, what do you mean? That's not true. It's Efshel Anocha below Hagbah because Efshel Begreira. Now, when Tosis answers this question, is he making a total about face here and reinterpreting the whole principle of Akira L'Tzorach Anocha? I mean, that would be very, very bombastic. I mean, Tosis, would have had to make a big deal about this, and he would have had to point out that we misunderstood the whole sugya of Akira L'Tzorach Anocha. So what does Tosis mean when he answers Mali Akira Zu, Mali Akira Acheres?
Why don't they say that? Why did they go to Greira first? Why didn't the Gemara ask the very same thing? And they said, well, he doesn't have to make a Hagbah in order to eat it. He could eat it right off the ground. But eating it off the ground is also an Akira.
But that's the case of Chelev. We're not talking about Shabbos there.
I guess you could do that. But that's still an Akira, doesn't it?
But again, why would Akira be a relevant concept in Chelev? I don't
know. In Chelev they said that you need the Hagbah is the Aschalta of the Achila, because how well are you going to get it right?
So the they said, you
well,
don't
no,
that
he does not, because you can eat it off the ground.
Right.
But if he's off the ground, that's also the haskalta is at the there's still a different type of akira. Instead of Hagbah, you have a removal from the ground to the mouth. I mean, is that what it's the answer?
In other words, if Tosis, if I understand your question, if Tosis is saying Mali Akira Zu, Mali Akira Cheres,
exactly.
Why not say in Achila Mali Achila Yidei Akbar, Mali Achila Yidei Gachin V'Yachil?
Exactly.
I hear. I don't know. It's an excellent question, but I'll tell you the truth. Your question is excellent, but I don't even know pshat, so I don't even know how to deal with your question. I mean, yeah, again, Rabosai, is Tosis making an about face here? I understand that Tosis is in a bind. You know, he's in a pickle. Because it doesn't seem, the kasha of Bibi Abai doesn't seem to work out to either of the two Lashonos. Because it's certainly not a case of Efshel Adure, And not only that, it doesn't even seem to be an efshar b'lav hachi, in a sense that he could have easily accomplished melechas hotzah with a grera. He didn't need agbah. So Tosus really has to answer that question. I'm not sure exactly how he answers this question. You know, it could be, and that's the mashmos of the lashon of the Tosus, I think, is that Tosus is now offering another definition of akira tzorech hanocha, in which case we don't care which method of akira he uses, because as long as the akira is part of leches hotzah, and it's an indispensable part of Melechas Hotzah, you can't be chayev without the Akira, then Tosus is saying something totally different than what he said before. So that, I'm not ready for this yet. Maybe in a few minutes we'll figure this out. I don't know. And then he goes ahead and he says, "Umikol makom ha'isur maskil mishas hagbah." In other words, it doesn't matter one iota whether he did the Akira through a Maisa Agbah or he did it through a Maisa Grera. Clearly the Chiyuv starts, or the Iser starts, with Agbah. And if you want to substitute for Agbah Grera, that's fine. But it doesn't matter. The Agbah is what kicked off the Chiyuv. Again, it seems to me that Tosus clearly is backtracking from what he said before. But I want to, if I can go Keseder here, I want to go through the Mishkanos of Roim and see what he says about this. Now, in order to demonstrate that the Akira, whether he does it this way or that way, is the beginning of the Chiyuv, or the beginning of the Isur, he says, well, what happens if somebody else would have done that Akira? He would have picked up the object. Then you would be part. Why? Because you left out the Akira. But I want to point out another few words in Tosus here. Nimtzach Akira Goremes Achiyuv. Okay, we don't know what that means. Again, it sounds like from all the other phrases that Tosus presented here, that he's saying that Alpidin, the Akira itself is the beginning of the Chiyuv. But I don't know, he says Akira Goremes Achiyuv. You know, he doesn't use the term Tchilas Achiyuv, but before he used the term Ha'isur Maskel Mishas Agbah, that Agbah is the Tchilas Ha'isur. Now let's look at the last five words in Tosfos, because this is where I think the Mishkanos HaRoim has a case. V'ad shas hanocha Moshe hachiyuv. There's one word in this phrase which I'd like to emphasize, you know, in bold print, in neon lights, and that's the word shas, because the word shas indicates that we're trying to operate with two time periods, and we're trying to somehow find the relationship between the two and connect them in a very profound way. And he's saying the following, that what we're trying to do here is we're trying to look at the moment in which he incurred a chiyuv mamon, which is the agbah of the gneifa, and see if we could somehow tie that together with the shas hanocha.
Right.
Now, wait a minute, what do you mean Shas Hanoch? Until now, Tosus has been emphasizing the Shas Akira. And in the Gemara's Kasha, Rabbi's Kasha, the problem was that you should apply Kimle against this price. So because at the moment of the Agbah HaMachayeves B'Gneva, it was also an Akira HaMachayeves B'Shavas. But all of a sudden, Tosus says, well, let's look at the two time periods. There's a time where he started the Akira, and then there's a time where he gets Tanocha, and Tosu wants to somehow connect those two together, and he's saying Moshe Chachiyuv, that there's some sort of Chiyuv that sews together, you know, the moment that he lifts up the stolen object, and the moment that he puts it down into Rishus Arad, and Ad Shas Hanocha, until he puts it down, Moshe Chachiyuv. So what I want to do now with you, if you don't mind, is to take a look at the Mishkanos HaRoim. So if you happen to have it, we're on page Kuf Tzadi Beis officially, but I do want to go back to review Kuf Tzadi for a second. So on Kuf Tzadi, he presents the Ra'ah, Then he has on Kuf Tzadi Aleph the Rashba, and then he has Tosas Hashita on Kuf Tzadi Beis. Now, the summary of the Ra'ah, if we want to save ourselves some time, appears in the very last paragraph here on Kuf Tzadi that starts with Mavur Midvarav. And he sets up, according to the Rashba, two categories of Kim Levi the Rabbi, meaning of Rabbi Ovin's principle that we start ticking the clock, you know, the clock starts ticking on Kim Levi Rabbi from the moment of the Haskalah. One category, he says, is called Chiyuv, or Din HaChiyuv. And as far as we're concerned, Akira Tzorach HaMnocha means that the din establishes that you're only chayev because of the Akira. I don't mean the Akira exclusive of the HaMnocha, but I mean to say it's critical that there be an Akira. And that din chiyuv will endow Akira with a special status. And the status of Akira now becomes so significant that we're going to never ask the question as, could he have done it in a different way? Could he have done that Akira in a way of Greira? No. He did the Akira with Hagbah, and the Hagbah has a Din Chiyuv on it. Why? Because that Hagbah was the Akira that will eventually that culminate with Hanoch. So did everybody see that in the first category again? We're not going to enter into the question whether he could have done it this way, could have done it that way. We're just asking, was he involved in the Chiyuv Al-Pidin? And what do I mean by the Chiyuv Al-Pidin? That a person is only Chayev for Otsof if he had a Hanocha. The Hanocha is part of the Mechayev. He says, very interesting, on the third line, he says, Akir v'Hanocha yidei shneim naseis ha-malocha. So again, the Gabra is not going to be chayv until he does both Akira and Hanocha, but the Akira is no less part of the Machayev and the Asiyas HaMalacha than is the Hanocha. So again, the Chiyuv begins with Akira, and that's Alpi Din, that's the Din Chiyuv. Again, before, he's not going to be chayv until the end of the Hanocha, but that doesn't mean he's chayv because of the Hanocha. He's chayv because of the Akira and the Hanocha. The Akira itself is an integral part of the Chiyuv. And that's why we kept seeing in our sugya that there's a difference between Almanas Latzniya and Almanas Lahotzi. But we have a precondition in the Akira that's got to be Almanas Lahotzi. If the Akira is just some sort of technical act of, you know, let's get the ball rolling, if you follow me, you know, just to give some momentum to the object, but I'm chayv really for the Hanocha, then why are there all these conditions about the Akira? You know, when does it start? When does it terminate? He undermines the Akira. He has to have Almanas this and Almanas that. I mean, that's all, according to Ra'ah, a result of the fact that the Tchilas Achiyuv is the Akira. And again, as a result, there's no difference. I'm not even going to raise the question whether he could have done it in a different way. You know, he could have stood on his head or dragged it with his hand. All that is irrelevant. And then he writes, Ulam yesh ofen nosaf b'mokom shemikra din ein ze hascholas achiyuv. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. This is going to take us back to the sugya of Chelev. And here, it all depends on Efshar or Efshar. Could he have done without it? Just one second. Case of Chelev. So he didn't need... He didn't need what?
Sounds like the Hagbah. Hagbah
and Nisa.
So the same idea.
Excellent. Yeah, Hagbah and Nisa. So let's talk about Hagbah. So in the case of Chelev, we're gonna analyze the hadbas chaylev from a whole different perspective than we did in the case of Otsah. In the case of Otsah, we said it was the tchilas chiyuv, it's part of the ma'isad vera machayevs. We're not going to say that in the case of hadbas chaylev. No one, nowhere could entertain the idea that the beginning of the chiyuv for chaylev is the hadbas chaylev. Oh, but the Rashba, I'm sorry, the Ra'ah, is going to now expand and break new grounds on Tchilas Achiyuv. And he's going to offer in the second category a new definition of Tchilas Achiyuv. And what's that new definition of Tchilas Achiyuv? That's called the Efshar. So let's look at it inside. He says, Ulam, about seven lines up from the bottom. Yesh ofen nosaf b'makom shemi'ikar adin ein zeascholas achiyuv. Emphasize those words mi'ikar adin, because the bottom line is going to be that it is called tchilas achiyuv. Kigon hagbav achnosel piv b'isur chelev. So what he's saying is that al pidin, that's not called tchilas achiyuv, because as we saw in the earlier paragraph, the Ra'ah identifies the Avera Machayevis in Chelev as the blia, right, the swallowing. That's if you want to look at it, the last three lines on the top of this, in the first column on the top, excuse me, the first paragraph on the top of this column. So now, Hachnosa Lepiv is not the same as Akira, whereas Akira is part of the Chiyuv. Hachnosa Lepiv is not part of the Chiyuv, but magically Hachnosa Lepiv becomes Tchilas Achiyuv. How? He says it all depends. Yochel Asa Isur B'lo Amaisa Shekonim Lo Eino Yochel. So as far as Hagbah is concerned, he could have bent down and he could have eaten it. So Hagbah is not going to be considered a Tchilas Achiyuv because he can simply avoid it. So Bagba came in the Efshal Achila Biladeah Lo Chashiv Chelek Me'achiv. So Rav Osai, even without reading the next two and a half lines, how would you fill in the next two and a half lines? How is Achnos Lepiv different? Right? Because again, Hagba is not considered Chelek Me'achiv. Why? Because Efshal Achila Biladeah. So now what's going to be the next part of your sentence as far as Achnos Lepiv? That it is Tchilas Achiyuv. Right. You're not following me? Again, he's trying to differentiate the Ra'ah between Hagbah and Achnos Lepiv. And he's saying the following, that Hagbah is not part of the Chiyuv. Why is Hagbah not part of the Chiyuv? Because you can avoid it. You can circumvent it. Is that how you'd say it? Right? You can circumvent it. How? Just by bending down and eating. But let's say there was a pula which you couldn't circumvent. It's absolutely necessary. Then it becomes chelik me'achiyuv. But again, this chelik me'achiyuv is not identical with the pristine original av malacha called akiru l'tzor chanocha. The av of akiru l'tzor chanocha was that you're chayev for the akira. We're not saying here that you're chayev for achnosas b'peh. Achnosas b'peh remains outside of the purview of a maisa machayev and avera machayeves. But rather it's part of the chiyuv. Why? Because you cannot get to point B without traversing point A. There's no way you can eat it without achnosas b'peh. That makes achnosas b'peh tchilas achiyuv. Mm-hmm. Do you see, Rav Osai, where in the Ra'ah's frame of reference, Zman is not a factor? Nowhere is he gonna mention the Zman. Remember how Tosa says, V'ad Shas Hanocha Moshe Chachiyu. That whole sentence is totally foreign to the language of the Ra'ah, because the language of the Ra'ah is Tchilas Achiyuv. The Ra'ah breaks new ground. He says Tchilas Achiyuv is not only because I'll be din, I need the Akira in order to be Chayav, and the Akira is part of the a part of the Maisa Machayev and the Avera Machayevis. You know, when we give you 39 Malkus, we'll give 30 of them for the Akira, 9 for the Anocha. And now he uses the same language called Tchilas Achiyuv for the case of the Efshar. That a case of the Efshar Beloza, which means that I can't swallow it unless I put it in my mouth first, that puts Hachnos Lepiv on the Darga of Tchilas Achiyuv. And therefore he says that Hachnos Lepiv came in the Efshar Achila Beladea is Dover Zeh Mashvile Mehashta Mas de mehashta maskil achiyuv. Va'avi lekechelik achiyuv shapoter. Notice the second category is being upgraded to the status of the first category. It's with a chaf adimya. It's like the first category, just like in the case of the pure, you know, the aboriginal, you know, the original akira tzorach hanoch is that the akira is an integral part of the chiyuv. Meaning you're chai for the Akira. Mm-hmm. Here, you're going to be chai for the Achnos Lepiv. What does that mean, you're chai for Achnos Lepiv? Achnos Lepiv is certainly not the Tchilas Achiv. The Chiv is Blia. But nevertheless, since there's no Blia without Achnos Lepiv, hence Achnos Lepiv becomes Tchilas Achiv. And you know, it reminds me again, I have to show them to compare it, but there's a famous Netziv about building a sukkah. And he says that the building a sukkah has a different status than what we call a hefshir mitzvah. And the Gemara applies osik b'mitzvah, potim mitzvah to the time he's building the sukkah. For example, the Gemara says that if he kills somebody while he's building the sukkah, he's not chayv golus because he's involved in a mitzvah. What do you mean he's involved in a mitzvah? The Netziv asks. There's no mitzvah to build a sukkah. Do we have to go home and then go to the mikveh before we build the sukkah? I'm not going to tell you who built our sukkah back in Flatbush for 40 years. Good old Jimmy. We wanted to go to his funeral, but we couldn't go into a church. Anyway, but that's not the schach, though. But anyway, so, well, I'm just, no, what I'm trying to point out is I don't know if you have to go to mikveh before you build the sukkah. Honestly, I mean that seriously. If you're a Hasidish Yid, and before you perform a mitzvah, you go to a mikveh, I would wait before the yeshiva of the sukkah, but not the building of the sukkah. So the Netziv says that why does the Gemara upgrade building the sukkah to the status of a mitzvah? It's like a quasi-mitzvah. He says because it's a heksha mitzvah ksuva b'Torah. A whole new category. He applies it elsewhere as well. And the Torah says, shivas yomim tasu lachem sukkah, or whatever the pasuk says, right? Tasu, sukkah tasu lachem. So since the Torah mentions the asiya, as opposed to another pasuk where the Torah says yeshiva, it means, right, pesukas teshma, but it also says tasu lachem, so that asiya, even though it's a heksher mitzvah, is upgraded to a new level. Again, nothing to do with that sugya, just that it reminds me, structurally, that the ra'oz second category of tchilas achiyuv is when the action itself is absolutely necessary. It's like a heksher mitzvah ksuba by Torah. The Torah says you got to build the sukkah, and the Torah is saying now in order to achieve this violation of achilas chelev, you have to put it into your mouth. So putting it into your mouth is like a heksher mitzvah, a heksher avera, but it's already an upgraded, super duper powerful heksher avera, and to such an extent that we see it as tchilas achiyuv, and that's not tosfos. So now you want to fast forward to page kuf tzadi beis. Again, we're skipping the Rashba in the meantime, and he writes that midirei tosfos sugi mashish sheish lam shita shlishes. And I don't know if you were with me when I was going berserk over this. I mean, this is like, I couldn't begin to understand. I mean, Tosfos is basically repeating what we saw in the Rashba. But now I think I begin to understand where he wants to take us. And he's so convinced of this. He has three nafkaminas between Tosfos and the Ra'ah, when I thought they were saying the same thing. Again, I'm still not totally calm about this because I told you there's a whole line there in Tosfos which seems to assume that the Agbah equals Akira, and the Akira is part of the Mechayev. That's why he says that if somebody else would do the Akira, he'd be Potter. And Mali Akira Lidei Agbah, Mali Akira Lidei Gerera. Which means he's dealing with the Alpidin element here. But then we have the other phrase in Tosfos, where he says, Yefshel Anocha Belo Agbah. Or he says, Adshas Anocha Moshe Hachir. So again, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, just telling you, I'm not 100% on board yet, but he is twisting my arm a little bit. It's no longer onus. You know, it's now it's mefuta. Yeah. So he says the following. What leads me to the conclusion that Tosfos has another shita other than the Ra'ah? Because Tosfos is not operating with Tchilas HaChiyuv, the way the Ra'ah is operating with, but rather, Efshal HaNocha below Agbah. The reason why Agbah sets off Kimlei ben Ramamine, and that was the Kash of Rabibi, is because Efshal HaNocha below Agbah. Very similar to the case of Blia, the Efshal Blia below Achnos Lepeh, or as Yechiel points out very well, Efshal what's it called? Nisuch below Agbah. I need to lift up the casket of wine and then I can pour it. So he says the following, that if you look at Tosfos' language, he says, Kosvu, this on the fourth line here, De'efshal v'anocha below Hagbah. Nowhere does Tosfos say that that's equivalent to the Akira HaMechayeves, but just a matter of the Efshar. V'afagav de Begrera, Efshar Begrera, Kachli Akira k'mo Akira Cheres, Akira Zu k'mo Akira Cheres. Now at this point, I don't know, he says, Mikoma koma iser maskel mishas hagbah. That sounds more like the Ra'ah. Correct? So he says the following, the last three lines. He says, Hare lo kosvu bepshitus ke Ra'ah. In other words, if Tosfos was on board with the Ra'ah, then there would have been a language, a choice of words that would have been more appropriate and even simpler. And that is that it's part of the Chiyuv Misa. Yeah, but Tosfos avoids that. He doesn't want to say it's part of the Chiyuv Misa. Because as we'll soon see, Tosfos has vested interest. He wants to include Achnosa B'Piv in the case of Chelev. That certainly is not considered Tchilas Chiyuv Misa, Chiyuv Kares, right? That's not the Tchilas Chiyuv Kares. And instead of saying that the Chiyuv Misa begins with Hagbah, Tosfos substitutes a different language, the Efshal HaNocha below Agbah. That's what I asked you down the line in the Tosfos. And now he says you should view this Tosfos as a Hemshech of Tosfos Divya Maskel Akira. Because in Tosfos Divya Maskel Akira L'Tzorach HaNocha, he has a whole Sugim Bava Kama, a case of someone who sells stolen goods on Shabbos, and the Ganav is now going to incur a Chiyuv Dalet Vehei for Mechira, and the Gemara says that he violates the Shabbos and therefore he's potter for paying Dalet Vehei on the Mechira. And what's the case? The Gemara says Kigon Sha'amar La. Wait, what time is it? I got to be very mocked here. I don't want to get to.
Yeah, you got time.
Yeah, because at 1:20, am I right?
1:20.
All right, so we'll try to, and we'll leave a little time for Chazara too, within the next what 6 minutes or whatever we have, right? Okay, I'm not trying to rush. I'm going very slowly here because these are very hard concepts. So what happened over there in Bava Kama? Zrokli gnevaseich lechatzeri, v'tigdi lechatzeri gnevaseich. So the lokeach says to the mocher is the ganav, throw the object that you stole into my chatzis. So the Gemara has a whole problem over here, because he's chayv for dalet vehei the moment it reaches the airspace of the chatzir. You remember this?
Yeah.
And he's not chayv for otzah until it lands. Excellent, until it lands. So unless we introduce Rabbi Akiva of Kluta Kamisha Huncha. That's the Gemara there in Bava Kam. So Tosfos asked the fine question, my parach. Well, what is Gemara asking over there? Gemara is saying that when it, you know, when it goes into the airspace, it's already the beginning of the chiyuv and the Gemara of the chiyuv misa. Because again, he's not going to be chayav befall until it lands. But the very moment he throws it into the chatzer, it's going into rishus hayochid va'akiru l'tzarcha nochehi,
and therefore.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is Rabbi Natan's cash. Why did the Gemara say that the reason why you don't apply Kimlei v'Rabmine and Zrokli because it's Ganav is Mocher? No, just one second. We're going to say Kimlei Ramini is potter. Just 1 second. We're going to say Kimlei Ramini potter. Why? Because he's chayev for the Gneva already there, and he's not chayev for that until there. So Frektosis is what? Well, where's the Kimlei Ramini? Ah, so he says that what? My Parich. Why does Gemara ask a kasha? That certainly there's no Kimlei Ramine because it's Pasach or Zeh. It's not Be'idin, right? So by Akira Litzarchan Nochehi Kida Omar Hocha.
So it should be Kimlei.
And it should be Kimlei. So why is Gemara objecting? Why is Gemara objecting to the application of Kimlei? He shouldn't be potter because first it goes to the oven and then it drops onto the ground. Who cares? We should still apply Kimlei Ramine based on the principle of Akira Litzarchan Nocha. And Rabbi Tam answers, "Vasi shapid the pireish the efshal and nisuch below agba." That is a principle of Kimlei the Rabbinay in the case of nisuch when he lifts up the wine and then he pours it for avodah zara. Mm-hmm. And Rav says, "Menasech mamish below kam miftu mishum de Kimlei the Rabbinay." So basically, according to Rabbi Ovin, says Rabbi Natam, in the case of Nisuch, when you lift up the yayin and then you pour it for a libation, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei of the Rambine. Why? Because we're going to say that Agba is Litzorach HaNisuch. Now, what does it mean, Agba Litzorach HaNisuch? There's no chiyuv for avodah zarah when you lift up somebody's wine. And maybe you'll be chayev at some point for Gneva, but not for... Oh, I don't know. He's saying something else. He's saying that So you see the Rabbeinu Tam is extending the principle of Hakir L'Tzorach HaNoch. He's not limited to the first definition of Tchilas Achiyuv. There's no Tchilas Achiyuv here. You're not even beginning to be Chayiv for the Avodah Zorah when you lift up the Yayin. But the answer is that Tosfos is operating with a whole new definition of the Efshar below. And when we say Efshar below, we're not talking about redefining the Tchilas Achiyuv in a halachic sense. We're talking about setting up a Kimlei of the Ramine based on the fact that he Efshar below, which means the Metzias and not the Din. So let's just summarize, because we're going to have to stop. What we have here is a presentation in which we read Tosfos carefully, and not just one Tosfos, but we put together two different Tosfos in, and we come to the conclusion that this is a third Shita. This is not the Shita of the Ra'ah. And again, right now it's all conceptual. We'll see how this cuts ice with a number of different nafkaminas. Whereas the Ra'ah is telling us that this new breakthrough definition of Akir Litzorach HaNocha is Tchilas Achiyuv, and we're going to define this kind of a Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuba Torah, Hechsher Avera Akosuba Torah, which means that if you have to begin your Achila with a Hachnosel Epiv, then according to the Ra'ah, the Hachnosel Epiv becomes the Tchilas Achiyuv. Right, because whatever you can't do without, that's already part of the Mechayev. We're going to give you a couple extra Schmeitzen, you know, because you put the Chalev into your mouth. That's all part of the extended definition of the Aver. Tosis is not working with that premise. Nowhere does Tosis say that in the case of Hagbah, which terminates with Hotzah, or which terminates with Nisach HaYayin, Lavodah Zarah, right? Nowhere does Tosfos say it's a Tchilas Achiyuv. Tosfos is not operating with Tchilas Achiyuv. Tosfos is operating with a new definition of Yefshar below. Yefshar below. And that means in Metzias, you can't get to the Avera, HaMachayivis Miso, Akaris, without doing X. X is the precondition, and it cannot be avoided. And now, in the paragraph that starts Reish Chav Zion, he's going to emphasize the last five words of Tosfos. Vare Shas Hanocha Moshe Chachiv. That this halach of Efshar is going to allow me to expand the time period of the Chiv. Not the Maisa Machayev. It's not a Tchilas Achiyuv, he's not Chayev for the Agbah, but it's going to be a broadening of the Zman Achiyuv, so to speak. And the Zman Achiyuv can be broadened like as elastic based on this concept of the Efshar. And that's going to create a Moshe Achiyuv, which is enough to establish the Be'idna, the Vavasacha. So we'll try to pick this up tomorrow, and we'll see all the nafkaminas that he has between the Ra'o and Tosfos. I think after we see the nafkaminas, we'll have a greater insight into what exactly is the machlokes between the Ra'o and Tosfos. Okay then, so everyone should have a great day.
That's a hasher because physically, as human beings, we have no other way to get it. We can't levitate it. We have to pick it up. So that's why it becomes the field. So why don't you say he had open his eyes in the morning, and he was still asleep, he wouldn't be able to do it either.